On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. To come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Take a moment to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this place to gather in around your word. We thank you that we have your word so readily available to us. And we pray that you would speak to us through it. We ask for your blessing upon our brothers and sisters across the nations of the world. We think particularly of those who do not have your word the way we have it. And we think of those who are persecuted and under great pressure because of their faith. Be with them, Lord, and help them, we pray. May they have a special blessing of knowing your nearness and your help. Lord, we live in a world full of troubles and difficulties. Lord, we pray again that you would, through your people, bring light and hope and help. Lord, bless, we pray, your people this day. Prompt us, motivate us, move us, Lord, to do what we can do with those we come in contact with, even this very week. We thank you, Lord, for this special occasion in our church calendar together coming up. We thank you for your great faithfulness and love. And we just continue to ask for your blessing. We pray for David, we pray for his family. We pray your richest blessing upon them at this time. And Lord, we just look to you, as always, to feed us now with your word, to strengthen us in our faith, to help us in our service for you. Bless those who sit in front and behind us. Lord, may there be something for each one. For our young people and children, Lord, as they've gone out, may they know your presence with them. Thank you that you take care of each need. Meet that need, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It was Nelson Mandela, wasn't it, who wrote The Slow Walk to Freedom. He outlined his life, or it was written alongside him at any rate, about how he came to that place of freedom, having been incarcerated for so long. And some of you know last year, this time actually, we just come back from a week in South Africa, and you could see the fledgling freedoms in that country, not totally. And I understand it's an ongoing struggle, even in the last 12 months. He spoke of his freedom and his desire that his nation might be free as well. But freedom comes at a cost, doesn't it? Freedom is not always easy. And if you think about it, even in the free world, and we would consider ourselves in a country that has greater freedoms than many, do we really know freedom? There are restrictions upon us, limitations. And personally, of course, in our own lives, past experiences so often cloud and hold us back. To be free, to be set free, is that really possible? Is that a reality? I want to focus this morning on the freedom that God brings. We read of this woman in the synagogue set free from the condition that had held her for 18 years. There were others as well who Jesus was ministering to who needed to be set free. It is an ongoing work. I want to begin with the day, first of all, because it's important to know when this happened. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in the synagogues. On a Sabbath, he healed this woman. I don't know if you remember or recall a film many years ago. It was called Whiskey Galore. You know that film? I saw the recent remake of it. I didn't know what it was at first. I was watching it thinking, oh, this is a beautiful backdrop. They're in the Isles of Scotland as its backdrop. And as I started to watch it, I thought, oh, it's got some quite famous actors in this. So I started to watch it, and it turned out it was the remake, a new version, a newer version of the film Whiskey Galore. If you don't know the film, the plot line is that they're on the island in wartime Scotland. There is a shortage. There's no whiskey on the island. But a ship, a stricken vessel, has hit the rocks just off the island. And so they're all planning and scheming about what they're going to do, get the whiskey off the island and all the rest of it, and how they're going to hide it away on the island as well from the soldiers who are on the island as well. And the strange thing that struck me about this film was how quaint it was. And I wondered what the 21st century watcher of the film would make of the Sabbath. Because on the isle, they would do nothing on the Sabbath. They would not, apart from worship, they would not do any work. Everything came to a grinding halt. Now, unfortunately, the boat with the whiskey and all that happened to it happened on the Saturday before the Sabbath. And so they're left all waiting for the Sabbath to end so that they can go and steal and they can go and pillage the boat. And as I say, I was watching it thinking, well, what I know of the Sabbath from the Bible and but I thought many people would be watching this wondering, what in the world is going on here? Why this stop in the midst of all that was taking place? Most of us, if not all of us, are old enough to remember when Sunday trading became the norm, or began to happen for the first time, and how things have moved on from there. God gave the Sabbath, Exodus 20, for rest and renewal. In Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, it says of God, he rested on the Sabbath day, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He made it unique, distinct, separate, a day of rest. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, in the second recording of the Ten Commandments, it says this, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Keep the Sabbath and remember your deliverance from Egypt. So rest, be renewed, but also remember. Remember God. Reflect upon what God has done. It was a day for that. Now in our busy world, people need rest, don't they? People are breaking down in all sorts of ways because they keep going, pushing themselves. You can see God's wisdom in breaking the weeks up in the way that he has. But church and Christians, even at times we're under pressure because of work and other commitments and all sorts of things, but we must find rest. We must find a place to reflect upon the Lord, to worship, to remember the greatest deliverance of all through Calvary of our Saviour for us. God gave the Sabbath to take time to think of what he has done. Now in Luke's Gospel, if you read it from the beginning and just work your way through, and of course if you're following a reading plan this year, you'll do that at some point, you'll read of how Jesus has conflict with the religious leaders constantly, it seems in Luke, on the Sabbath. In Luke chapter 4, there's a man with an evil spirit. He's set free from it in the synagogue on the Sabbath. In chapter 6, they're picking grain in the fields, Jesus and his disciples, and they're criticized for it, and Jesus has to speak about what's lawful on the Sabbath. In Luke 6, a man with a shriveled hand is healed again in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Chapter 14, a man at a Pharisee's house this time with an abnormal swelling in his body is healed on the Sabbath. Again and again and again. What does this teach us about the Sabbath? Well, I hope you find rest and you renew yourself. Some people say, oh, well, every day is a Sabbath. Well, if that's the only way you can find rest and renewal, then I guess as long as it's remembering and reflecting on the Lord, that's the thing to be doing. But Jesus teaches us that compassion doesn't have to wait. For elsewhere he says, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. The Lord knows what you need, what I need, so we don't have to beat ourselves if we somehow do something on the Sabbath. But having said that, do not lose the precious rest and the precious time of reflection upon the Lord. The Sabbath was made for man. And so here's an instance again in the life and ministry of our Lord. It was on the Sabbath. That was the day. Today is, in effect, our Sabbath. And so we're spending a little bit of time together reflecting upon what the Lord has done for us, and that's good. But we, of course, need to do much more today or as the week unfolds. Well, if it begins with the day, it moves on to the difficulty. A woman was there who'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. The size and the scale of this problem. Can you picture the scene? There was a woman bent over, literally, couldn't straighten up at all. And it stresses that, at all, she couldn't. She was fixed in that position. That had been her condition for 18 years. I don't know about you, but I think it's quite a testimony that she was still at the synagogue going through this struggle. For surely there was faith. There was a seeking to be healed. And that makes the comments of those at the synagogue even more harsh. When come back in the week and do this, when she's been there for so long, in so much pain and so much difficulty. But it's not just the size of the difficulty, it's the scale. Because it's not just a physical ailment, it's got spiritual connotations too. It was a physical condition but with a spiritual cause. Because Jesus says she's been crippled by a spirit whom Satan, and she says of the woman, Satan has kept her bound. So this was not go home and apply some deep heat to this condition and you'll get better. This was a spiritual challenge to Jesus. And of course, it's great to see how he comes through and his power is demonstrated in such a way. Only one greater than Satan could set her free. And that one is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This was a small skirmish, wasn't it, in the battle that would end at Calvary. Satan's hold over her was broken. She was able to stand up straight, having been so crooked. It would take the resurrection of our Lord Jesus to bring about eternal freedom, though, to set free from Satan's hold. I love the way it's recorded by Luke in Acts chapter 2. God raised him from the dead, that's the Lord Jesus, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. The Lord Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, put sin and death straight. He made a public spectacle of them, the powers and the authorities, triumphing over them by the cross. As Paul writes to Timothy, Christ Jesus has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so we see in what Jesus did physically to this woman in straightening her up from what Satan had done, we see a parallel, a pattern for what the Lord Jesus has done for all who believe. For we might like to think we are upright in all our ways, but we are not. We are crooked in our sinfulness and need that straightening out. And of course, that's why Jesus went to the cross, that that could be possible for you and for me through our faith in him. The difficulty led to the deliverance. He put his hands upon her, and immediately she straightened up. Again, if you know anything of the gospel writers, you'll know that Mark is the one who uses immediately constantly. He's just so aware of the power of the Lord Jesus at work. Immediately this, immediately that, immediately. But here, Luke takes us on that thought. This might happen, this might not work. The power of the Lord Jesus was at work, and immediately she straightened up. So powerful is our Lord and Saviour. So personal. He put his hands upon her. And so pertinent were his works. John the Baptist, at the beginning of his ministry, as Jesus began to move around from place to place, announced him, quoting verses from Isaiah. And within those verses, it says, "The crooked shall become straight, and all people will see God's salvation." The way is being made for us. We said last week, Jesus is the way. It's a straight way. It's a straight path. And he has made that way for us, taking us in our crookedness and straightening us through the cross. We cannot straighten ourselves. Sin has distorted and made crooked. But the coming of the Lord has revealed the heavenly plumb line, if you like. What amazing grace that the crooked can be made straight. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ changes us, doesn't he? Changes us. Different sets of values when we become a believer. We're not perfect, of course. Sometimes the old nature, you know, clings on. And sometimes we act from that old nature rather than the new. But the Bible does promise us that we shall be like him. We shall see him face to face. And we shall be like him ultimately. Made completely straight. The way we were always meant to be. It was because of his touch upon her life that this happened. She was called forward and Jesus did the rest. She couldn't do anything herself, could she? In her bent over position, what could she do? But it's interesting that here she's called a daughter of Abraham. That's the way Jesus responds to her. Now, no doubt that was because of her birth, a daughter of Abraham, of Jewish descent, but also because of her faith. Because those who are of Abraham have that faith that looks at the impossible and says, no, this is possible with God. The deliverance, in a moment, her life was transformed and changed. And it goes on to say in verse 13, after she straightened up, she praised God. I bet she did. That's a bit of an understatement, Luke, surely. Now she could see. She'd been bent over. She now had a new perspective. She could see like she'd never seen for the last 18 years. She could now serve. She could now do things that she could not do before. A new mobility. And from that aching heart that took her again and again to the synagogue in frustration, she now has a full and overflowing heart of praise. Again, can you see how that translates to you and I in the sense of without Christ, there we are in our crooked ways of sin, straightened by him through the gospel. And we see differently now, don't we? We see the world in a different way. We see what's to come. We see things that the man in the street cannot see because he hasn't got the Spirit of God. We now want to serve our Lord. We've got that greater mobility, spiritually speaking. We want to pray. We want to be involved. We want to serve. We want to bring glory to God. And this morning we've gathered, and other times we'll gather through the weeks and months ahead. And perhaps, yes, at times we might know an aching heart because of circumstance and situation, but we'll be moved to be full and overflowing in our hearts with praise to our God. The deliverance brought about the devotion. For as it says in the scriptures, when the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. When Jesus sets us free, we are free indeed. We have free access to him, free resources from him, free from sin, and free to serve. A little bit like with my children's talk for all, you know, the suitcase has all that we want, all that we need. The resources are there for us to draw upon. It says at the end of this encounter that the people were delighted, and that's nice, with all the wonderful things he was doing. I wonder whether they believed or not. It is possible, isn't it, to be delighted but not engaged. To say, oh, well, that's nice for you. Delighted. I'm delighted for you. But never take it beyond that. The people saw the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. And again, you can look at somebody else's life and say, that's great, isn't it? Their life has really changed. That's wonderful. But do we want it for ourselves? Do we want it for ourselves? Perhaps there were those there who were just glad that the heavyweight religious leaders were getting a bit of a challenge by Jesus. They were delighted, but did their delight lead to devotion? I say that because as you read the rest of the chapter, Jesus talks about the importance of knowing him. He says, I don't know you or where you come from. Now, that just again reminds me that Jesus wants that ongoing daily walk and relationship with each one of us. Not that we just watch what's happening to others. We cannot ride, as it were, on the coattails of another Christian. It has to be personal. It has to be from our own hearts, for our own experience. Knowing Jesus is more than watching him change the lives of others. Knowing Jesus is letting him change you. Acknowledging your need. As I say, Jesus says, I don't know you or where you come from. Acknowledging, Lord, this is where I've come from, and this is where I want to go with you. Letting him straighten out with his touch. Following him through, as he says, the narrow gate, the straight way with him. It's not a way that everybody else is on, and wants to be on even. Because devotion, unlike delight, devotion is costly. The day, the Sabbath, and the deliverance brought its own difficulty. for Jesus. People don't like change. People don't like losing control. That's what was going on there. The criticisms against him. The day brought devotion from Jesus to the Father's will. As always, nothing changed there. That's the way it's supposed to be. But a greater deliverance was needed from the criticism and the legalism that was around at the time. Remember last week we talked about the tree. And we talked about how it needed digging around and fresh fertilizer, manure needed putting on it so that fruit might grow. Jesus again was seeing leaves but no fruits. He was seeing people saying religious things but not demonstrating from their lives the fruits of love and mercy and kindness. And so here was a woman literally being treated worse than an animal. The animals at least were watered on the Sabbath, but she could get no aid, could get no help. Well, Jesus was not having it that way, thankfully. Thankfully, you don't have to wait, whatever your need, whatever your situation. You don't have to book 3 weeks' time on a Thursday or something like that. You can just call out to the Lord right where you are in your situation, even now. But remember our Saviour, remember how he made freedom possible. I talked about the long walk to freedom of Nelson Mandela. And that was obviously great hardship and difficulty for the man who went through what he went through, but what is that in comparison to the pure and perfect Saviour of the world, who would writhe in agony, distorted and crippled in pain, so that we might be made straight, that we might be fit for heaven, as the hymn writer puts it. Surely that deserves your daily devotion, my daily devotion. For he, the Lord Jesus alone, is able to change us, to transform us as we come to him with faith. To change attitude, to prompt action, to bring compassion through you and I to a wider world. This woman has this personal encounter. How precious it was. How wonderful to see. But the lessons beyond it are for you and for me here this morning. We have a Saviour who wants to set free. Are we willing to be set free? Do we want more of him in our lives? It may bring difficulty. It will call certainly for devotion. The Sabbath is just one little element in that. But our daily lives, the things we do, the things we say, where we go, what we do, all these things. Are we free? Free in Christ to be his people. He wants us to be. He doesn't want us restricted, tied up. He wants us to know and to praise and to do all that we can in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a hymn, such a testimony for each one who believes to be able to sing and speak of the freedom that is ours because of Calvary. We are troubled in our world, Lord, because there are so many who are burdened, who are enslaved, Lord, not free. And you are the only one who can set them free. So help us, even as your people, to, yes, enjoy the freedom we have in you, and indeed to live that out so that others will inquire and want to know more of you. You are the only one who can make the crooked straight. We testify to that, Lord. Lord, thank you for the freedom that is ours. Again, help us to use our days wisely. Help us to use our days, Lord, glorifying your name, seeking to help others as well. We bless you, Lord, for the wonderful example you have shown us here in your word. Seal the word in our hearts, Lord, And help us to go on with you from strength to strength, relying upon you, and indeed living out and loving the freedom that you've blessed us with. So keep us, Lord, watch over us. Keep us pressing on the narrow way. Lord, thank you that you have made it all possible. And we just continue to commit ourselves to you, asking for your blessing upon our church, upon each one here with us. Help us, Lord, particularly those who are under pressure, Lord, with issues of the Sabbath, Lord, with, Lord, perhaps having to work or whatever else. Lord, just help us, Lord, to stand firm and, Lord, to know your hand upon us, guiding and leading us. We commit ourselves to you now and ask for your presence and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.